Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to this month's Diamond Call. I will immediately apologize. I have some sort of change of seasons throat thing going on. Last week I was totally without voice for a couple of days. It is still not 100%, as you can probably tell. I don't have a lot of volume, and I don't have a lot of control over it occasionally turning into some sort of squirrel squeak. We'll be fine. We'll get through it, but don't be smacking your cell phone against the wall thinking it's a phone problem. It's a Dan voice problem. Today's call is all about opportunities in the Hispanic market. Our guest is Nidia Monarez, a Hispanic marketing expert, highly rated Spanish voiceover and on-camera talent. She works a lot with businesses in bridging the gap between their advertising and marketing and selling strategies and practices in the Latino marketplace, and works with audio and video productions and social media and digital media and print and Hispanic community events and on and on and on. Corporate clients include or have included our friends at Disney, McDonald's, Toyota, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and the direct marketing-based OxiClean. So as we go along today, we'll get a website from her. There will be a free gift for everybody on the call and on the CD. Carrie, that's a beep of somebody coming in. If you can mute the beeps, please. And so we'll get to that in just a minute. There is, as Diamond members now know, also a prize available only to everybody on the live call. And Nidia is generously giving translation and voiceover services, a voucher worth up to $250 for those services. That will be the prize. We'll also, of course, include a telephone consultation with her about your project. I am now going to give you the three clues to today's secret word. It is either one word, or if you put the preposition in front of it, it is two words. This is going to be really easy. So we're probably going to be determining the ultimate winner by draw. The clues are up, over, and under. And you get the secret word to my office, fax 602-269-3113, before the end of business today. Clues are up, over, and under. And the fax is 602-269-3113. It is either a word or a preposition plus a word, depending on how you wish to do it. So, again, welcome to the call. I also want to mention Nidia will be with us at Info Summit next week. Is exhibiting. We'll be there in a booth. If you are attending, as I'm sure most of you are, after this call, I'm sure you're going to want to chat with her. Be sure to look her up and check in with her. So, Nidia, thank you for being with us, and welcome to the call today.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Muchas gracias for having me.
I'm going to let you expand a little bit on the quick introduction I did. Not all the way back to birth, but sort of origin, how you came to be in the business you're in now and with us, and a little bit more about your business.
Okay, sure. Well, I've been an entrepreneur. I know you don't want to start since the beginning, but I've been an entrepreneur since I was a little girl. My grandfather was a businessman. My mom has always been selling something, and I used to sell candies with my sister at school. And we were pretty successful to the point that the principal had to close our business because the cafeteria was not making enough money. So just to give you an idea, you know, that it's kind of in my genes, this entrepreneurial spirit. Going super fast forward, I went to the university in Mexico, of course. I was born and raised in Mexico. I have a degree in communications and public relations and always wanted to be in sales and corporate relations and things like that. So I started with a financial company, a filial of Citibank in Mexico, providing, you know, customer service and developing business relationships. Then after being in Citibank Mexico, I got a change. I mean, another company hired me. ING is a Dutch company, which, by the way, here in the United States is no longer named ING, but I guess people could still rely to the ING name. I was working for ING in Mexico. And after a few years of being with ING in Mexico, the sister company, ING in the United States, started international recruitment to hire a multicultural team to work on an initiative to reach reach the Hispanic market here in the United States. Long story short, I was one of the lucky ones that got selected to work on this initiative. So I was relocated with my husband and my kids from Mexico to the United States. It was actually Florida when I started working for ING in the United States. And after a few years working for ING in Florida, the company went to an IPO, initial public offer, and the whole multicultural team, along with many other people, got laid off. So it was very unexpected. I was in shock. But after all, it ended up being a blessing for me because I didn't feel like going back to the corporate world again. But instead, I decided to do what I always wanted to do, which is acting and voiceover, but I'm also passionate about marketing and selling. So somehow that's how I started to combine these four passions or activities or hobbies in my business. I started to take in acting classes and voiceover coaching along with, you know, learning about GKIC and marketing strategies. And my business was growing organically, you know, because when I started to do on-camera work for commercials, mainly for the Hispanic audience and also Spanish voiceovers, I was constantly advising my clients and how to do the right approach. I was constantly correcting scripts. Even though I was getting all these professionally translated scripts, I was often seeing mistakes and that were changing basically the essence of the message. So as a result of doing all these plus, you know, all these teachings from GKIC and Dan, I started to incorporate all those all that knowledge and experience and passion. So I got to the point when I said, you know what? Instead of just doing on-camera work and Spanish voiceovers, I'm gonna start providing consulting services for my clients. And yeah, in a nutshell, that's how I started my Hispanic marketing solutions business.
Well, so let's start with the market. Really, why should anybody care about making themselves appealing to, attractive to, and specifically marketing to Hispanics? What does the size and scope of this look like in the United States? How many? What are the incomes? What can you tell us about the market?
Well, first of all, the market is huge. I mean, it's about 55 millions U.S. residents that are here only in the United States. The buying power that we had until 2016 was 1.5 trillion. No million, no billion, but trillion. So 1.5 trillion in buying power. It's, for me, it's kind of a very attractive market. And it's growing, you know. And the other thing is that in order for us to pay attention to you as a company or business owner, even though many of us are bilingual, we perfectly understand English, you guys should do it in Spanish because that's the language that talks to us. But going back to the first questions, I mean, that's like the size of the market, and it's pretty attractive. And I think a lot of people are not aware of this opportunity.
So stats I've seen, there's growth. There's growth in the affluent segment of it, the higher income segment of it.
Yeah, you are totally right. The Hispanic incomes over $150,000 grew almost 200% between 2005 and 2015. So for those earning between 40 and 100K, that's the 40% of the buying power that we have as Hispanics. So we do have money to spend.
And there's, so you alluded to this point. I know from some direct marketing examples that many of the households are English-speaking households, and yet at least one or more persons in them prefers to read, listen, engage, in the native language. They prefer to shop online in the native language. There's a famous test for South Beach Diet, a direct mail test of mail to Hispanic households, split test of Hispanic language piece, American language piece, bilingual piece. The bilingual piece outpulled either of the other two by a substantial margin. So talk a little bit about these preferences.
That's so true. And I'm so glad that you're mentioning that example. Yeah. You know, when you're trying to reach the Hispanic audience, first of all, you need to get to know us a little, at least a little bit. And one of the things that we really appreciate from companies when we are buying any product or service is the bilingual packaging or the bilingual instructions. As you all know, marketing is pretty much related to psychological, emotional things. So being the Spanish, our mother tongue, or the language that we connect with, when we see something that is bilingual, or, you know, when we listen to something in our mother tongue, we immediately get this emotional connection. And I guess that's why it explains the results of this mailing piece that was bilingual, because we appreciate that and we respond in a positive way, either hiding or buying those products and services who truly care about us. And by truly, I mean, for us, for these people or merchants taking the effort to do it in Spanish or doing it bilingual, it shows that you guys care about our community. And I guess that's because it's very related to this emotional connection that we have, you know, mainly because the language itself is a strong emotional and cultural value for Hispanics. And I'm just going to share
exactly
briefly. I just want to share this study. You know, there are many studies about it, but one 24-year-old guy responded in one of the many surveys that Spanish, for even he was totally bilingual and he was born here, he said Spanish is my mother tongue, but it's also the mother tongue of my mother. And when I speak in Spanish, I feel I'm speaking from my soul, from my heart. So I guess that's pretty much explanatory what I just said before. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, and you've alluded to it a couple of times, that the probably a very common mistake, and where you find mistakes in scripts, is a simple language translation without cultural understanding, so that it might be technically correct, but the meaning actually changes and lost in translation occurs. Marketing to any niche subculture, ethnic group, different people in a different geography, there are profound cultural differences, and I think there are profound cultural advantages with the Hispanic market that I talk to my clients about all the time. Talk a little bit about not just language, we'll get back to it, but about culture. What do people need to know about the Hispanic customer?
Sure. Regarding to the meaning of the language, it's very, very important, not just only to do the translation and the localization, which is pretty much related to the geographic zone, but most importantly, the adaptation. Because there are many words who are pretty similar or even the same word. It has totally, totally different meaning. For instance, and this is something very related to religion, and I'm not, I don't want to get into religion or anything, but just the simple word Papa. Papa is the Pope, but Papa is also potato. So as you can see, it spells exactly the same, and there is not even a difference in terms of an accent. Oh, yeah, this one used an accent, and this one, no. Papa is Papa. Papa, the Pope, the highest entity in the religion, and by the way, a lot of Hispanic are, in the Catholicism, and a lot of Hispanic belong to these beliefs, and Papa Potato. So just, it matters just the rest of the words that you are using along this substantive, and you can get a totally different message. Another example is yerba mate, for instance. Yerba mate, for those who are familiar with teas and herbal drinking teas, is a plant from South America, and people drink it in a very particular container through a metallic straw, yerba mate. But mate is kill like the verb kill in past tense. So again, a same word with two complete different meanings. And there are so many stories of even big firms and big brands who have been in trouble because they didn't take the time to consult for instance, a very proof expert or translator to make sure that the message is right. And I'm talking about brands like the chocolate Hershey, like Bud Light Beer, like even Volkswagen, and I can show you many, many examples, but it's how important to know and to make sure that the message is not just professionally well translated, but adapted and proofreading and localized according to the geography.
So, yeah, I can imagine you get yourself in a lot of trouble here with a language translation app on your phone. But so let's go from language now to culture. So I think there are some things about Hispanic customer culture that make them exceptionally valuable clients, customers, or patients for a number of businesses. And I referenced it in the Maximum Referrals book because I think that these lend themselves to customer multiplication more than they do in many other groups. Give us sort of a picture of Hispanic family life, Hispanic culture, makes them special as customers.
Just to make sure, you want me to give you an example of a typical Hispanic family in the United States?
Yeah, I mean, talk a little bit about the dynamics of how their family life and their life with friends, their communities work.
Okay.
Because I do believe that there are elements of that that make them, in many ways, more valuable than a comparable non-Hispanic customer.
Totally. Well, that's easy because I can just speak from my own experience, you know. I'm totally Latin, born and raised in Mexico. I'm married to a Mexican guy. My kids were born and partially raised in Mexico. Then, you know, we moved here almost 8 years ago, 9 years ago. And, you know, as a typical Hispanic family in the United States, one of the main rules that you will listen or you will see in most of the Hispanic families is that we speak Spanish at home all the time. That's like the number one rule. We, of course, kids are totally bilingual and speak English most of the time at school and with their friends. But when we are at home, everybody needs to speak Spanish. That's just, you know, like a rule. And that's the way it works. And, for instance, going to the celebration or social area of our lives, when we have parties or we invite people coming over, we normally set a time, you know, and invite to come over, but we could never say like the ending time of the party or the celebration. For us, could be kind of rude and insulting. Oh, so you want me to go to your home at 7 p.m. and by 9 or 10 you want me out? No way. You know, we are party people. We just have the starting time, which, by the way, unfortunately, we never start at that time. There are many few people who really honor that punctuality thing that is amazing. I mean, of this American culture, and I love it. And I'm constantly, you know, trying to be in time all the time because I have this cultural baggage of being late because it's not a big deal. Okay, so the party starts at 8 or the invitation says 8 p.m. and people start showing up around 8:30, 9:30, 10, and that's just part of the culture. And it could be 2, 3 a.m. in the morning and we are still having, you know, party and celebrating and eating again what we had for dinner, and you know it's just the way it is. Also, when we are doing like an important buy, for instance, a car or a home, we tend to request advice to our family members, and it's not just in this case my husband, but my uncle or my grandma or my father-in-law. That's kind of a consensus that we need to get from the family in order to make an important purchase. So here's just a tip. When you are marketing to the Hispanics, you're not just marketing or targeting the final buyer, but you're also targeting the relatives of this audience. So for instance, if you are targeting the millennials, you also need to consider that you'll be sending the message somehow related to grandma or to the mother of these millennials, because they somehow have some influence in our buying decisions.
The research that I worked with when I wrote the Maximum Referrals book, and research specifically to financial services and to healthcare practices, indicated a higher level of, or a bigger number of referrals from the typical Hispanic client or patient than the typical non-Hispanic client or patient. It seems to me which makes them more valuable. It seems to me that reflects this family dynamic that purchases are occurring after 4, 5, 6 people have put their heads together about it and consulted each other about it. And that means that the evangelical advocate, somebody who is really your champion, has a profound opportunity to influence 4, 5, 6, 7 other customers about you, and is very likely to do so. Talk a little bit about brand loyalty amongst Hispanic consumers, referral activity among Hispanic consumers, retention, you know, all of that.
Yeah, that's very important, and that's kind of a really huge advantage for people who target us directly, because once you earn our loyalty, it's not just, you know, the final consumer, but you most likely are getting the loyalty of the whole family. So, for instance, with a doctor or with a dentist, if you find this amazing dentist because he's very warm, that's important for us. You know, we are people person, so we like personalized service and warm service. And if we have this amazing experience with our doctors or dentist, on the next family reunion or party, we are sharing to everybody, you know, in our inner circle or family about this amazing doctor. So we are great sources of referrals. And it's like the most effective and cheapest, because, I mean, we don't charge commission, or we don't request a penny to talk well about any business. You just need to treat us right and, you know, do your job well, and you almost immediately will start to see an increase of referrals from your Hispanic customers. And it's just because, you know, we just immediately want to share our good experiences with our loved ones. And for them, the fact that I'm sharing that is like the best advertising or marketing strategy ever. Even if they have never seen your advertising or your postcard in the mail or your spot or TV, television commercial or your online video or Facebook post, just because an Hispanic customer is already satisfied with your service, you can count with you know, that, you know, along within some time, you will immediately or automatically start to get more Hispanic customers as a result of this referral situation that we automatically tend to do. And so, yeah, I guess it's a pretty cool advantage, you know, when you start to get Hispanic customers, eventually, sooner than later, you will get these referrals, and it also becomes, you know, we are very loyal people, so if you treat us well, we become very, very loyal customers.
So people ought not underestimate this market. You pointed out $1.5 trillion in buying power. I've got some stats here you sent me. The 194% increase in 10 years of households with $150,000 a year in income and up. Home ownership is an interesting one in the stats you sent me. 42.5% of the household growth in the United States in the last 10 years has been Hispanic households. So let's talk about degree of difficulty. Creating a parallel track of advertising, marketing, selling, that's bilingual, Hispanic market aimed. I imagine people are thinking this is going to be horribly complicated. When you work with a client, I mean, how bad is this if I've got 5 dental practices, I've got a law practice, I've got some restaurants, whatever kind of business I have, if I'm going to target market to Hispanics and I'm going to make the business over in a way that can work for? Is this, you know, $1 million project? Is this not anywhere near that? Is this going to take 2 years to get done or not in a year that? What does this process look like?
Okay. Well, first of all, I asked them to fill out an assessment so I can get to know a little bit more about your business, the geographic zone where you are located at, and the target, the audience that you want to reach, and also the message, very, very important, because even though you have a dental practice, maybe you want to focus on promoting just the whitening teeth process, or if just like general dentistry, you know, so it's important to know the message that you want to send, the zone or the geographic zone where you are, and a lot of that information is through filling out that assessment. Once I have this information, I work on a proposal to provide different options. But one of the main things that we need to do before doing anything outside or before promoting or launching any marketing campaign, we need to work on your business to become what I call Hispanic ready. So before, you know, going into any sales promotions or marketing, we need to make sure that your business is Hispanic ready. And what I mean by that is, okay, for instance, so you are a doctor and you have this practice. But first of all, do you have at least one person in your practice who is bilingual? If not, that's a key component, you know, to get your business bilingual or Hispanic ready. You need to have at least someone who speaks Spanish at your office. Do you have the forms in Spanish? as well. If not, we need to make sure that all the paperwork is, if it's not in Spanish, if you don't have it in Spanish, you only have it in English, you need to get it at least bilingual or get the Spanish forms done, you know. So there is a lot of things that we need to make sure that are created and put in place before doing anything to be successful, you know, because, yeah, it's easy just to translate a message and send it over and then going to the website and everything is in English. It's going to be kind of frustrated, you know, for the customers because they got a message in Spanish. So it's creating your website in Spanish. So in few words, the very first process or steps is to create, we help you to create marketing assets from scratch in Spanish. And it's not necessarily from scratch because many of the business, of course, already have all these marketing assets already up and running and being successfully working in the marketplace. But still, we need to translate them, adapt them, and, you know, twist them perhaps a little bit so you can trust, you know, in these tools for the Hispanic market. And that's something that, of course, requires a little time, investment. But once you do this, you immediately are adding value to your business. So even if you are thinking about selling your business within a year or two or five or 10, when you get your business Hispanic ready, you are immediately adding a tremendous value to your business because the same business is going to be able to target a total different audience, you know, which is the Hispanic market. And that itself is adding a lot of value to any business.
You know, the first part of that, what it reminds me of is the there's a whole business now of remaking a home and getting it ready and able and friendly to a senior living at home. You know, redoing the shower so you can walk into it. Putting the stair lift in, at the opposite end of the age spectrum, parents, first child, get the house ready, right? All the poisonous chemicals get moved to the top shelf, handles get changed on the doors, mm-hmm. the baby monitors get put in. The process of getting the business itself Hispanic ready, it reminds me of both of those things. It's like, gee, do we need different signage here? Do we need different forms? Clearly, I'm glad you mentioned, clearly we need at least one person fluent in Spanish. I imagine that everybody should get some cultural training. What are the most common mistakes made, either in the business or in the business's marketing, as they begin to pursue this market? What does everybody sort of
screw up? Well, there are all kind of, I mean, we're human, so everybody makes mistakes, but for me, it's very easy to catch them because perhaps I'm always, you know, looking with these glasses of criticism and, from the sales and marketing point of view. So sometimes, for instance, and I have seen these, like, for big brands, it's not just, you know, for small business owners, but for instance, I don't watch a lot of television, but when I watch it because I do watch some channels in Spanish, and I'm watching mainly the commercials. Perhaps because it's kind of my other profession, you know, has a Spanish voiceover talent. But I'm always listening to the voices of these commercials. And sometimes when you are launching this promotion or this product, and you invest a lot of money with this campaign, and the voiceover of the commercials sounds like, you know, with some accent that, it, you know, someone who speaks Spanish, but it's clearly a non-native Spanish-speaking person. So it's like, really? Couldn't you just invest a little time, not even money, but just a little time finding the right talent who could speak really like the Spanish, like pure Spanish, you know, a native Spanish speaker instead of someone who learned the Spanish here, which will never be the same? Or also maybe for like a law firm. This Anglo guy who owns this amazing law firm, and that's great that and he makes an effort, you know, and hablamos español. And, I mean, and don't get me wrong, that's kind of a cool thing to know that he truly cares and wants to approach the Hispanic community. But if you're Spanish is kind of hablamos español, you know what? I'd rather suggest you, I mean, I would rather you get some of your assistants who perhaps is more kind of truly Hispanic who send that message in front of the camera, you know?
You know, because it never occurred to me, but now that you mention it, this is a pretty common mistake with direct response TV. I mean, now that you mention it, I've been in studio where they've recorded the audio for the 2-minute spot in English, in Spanish, for the Asian countries, and it's the same person doing all four of the reads, and they sound exactly like an American who has taken the Rosetta Stone course
right.
in the language, and yeah, they can pronounce it, but that's about it. It really never occurred to me until you just said this, but clearly those should all have been recorded by people who speak the native language.
Exactly, because it's not only not doing the connection, but affects you negatively, you know? Somehow, perhaps, maybe just at an unconscious level, we feel it, you know? And it's the same when we hear someone who is from the, you know, who speak the native, you know, someone who's native from whatever Chinese or Russian or whatever language you're using, please invest a little bit of time. Again, it's not even money. It's not going to cost you more to hire an American voiceover talent than a native Spanish-speaking or Korean-speaking talent. But just make sure that it's truly a native person because, you know, it's not just going to help you but affect you in a most likely a negative way. So I would say that's kind of the most common mistake. And, well, also on writing, on print, you know, on print information, you need to make sure that it's adapted. It's not just, and please don't just use Google Translate. And, I mean, it's a great tool for little things, a phrase or whatever, when you need to find the meaning of something. But don't put your reputation, you know, in jeopardy just because you didn't want to hire an experienced translator. It's not worth it to save you a few hundred dollars for that. And, you know, because at the end, all the effort and all the money that you are investing in printing the materials and doing the copy and promoting and giving away whatever you are giving as a lead magnet is going to the trash can just because you didn't have the time or you didn't consider these little details. So, and I guess that's all about those details that makes the difference when connecting with any market, but in particular the Hispanics, we are pretty sensitive to those kind of things, our language and our culture, and yeah, so basically.
I want to get in contact information for you, you indicated you've just created or updated a new guide that everybody can get. So if you would give out website guide information, phone number if you want, so people can connect.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity, Dan. Yeah, I just finished an amazing guide that I call the Ultimate Guide to Successfully Targeting the U.S. Hispanic Market, 6 Hot Buttons You Must Use to Reach This Booming Market, plus all the tricks, tips, and truths your competitors don't know. So it's a small guide, but it's, you know, full of I hope you guys find it full of valuable information and tips that you can implement. And you can download it for free at I make it easy for you. So I have like my main website with just like my name, MediaMonarres.com. But you can also, it's easy for you just to go to HispanicMarketStrategies.com. HispanicMarketStrategies.com. I just kindly ask you to fill out the form, and you can immediately download this guide. And
cool.
My phone number, if you want to give me a call, is 727-215-4012. Once again, 727-215-4012.
And again, folks, that free guide offer is there for you, whether you are on this call live or whether you are listening to it on the audio CD in November. However, the voucher for translation and voiceover up to a $250 value is only for those folks who are on the call live. There is only one. I remind you, the competition for that ends this business day. You are faxing in the secret word to my office at 602-269-3113, and your clues were up, over, and under. In just a second, we'll open up for some questions and answers, discussion with Nidia and or me for a few minutes. I would remind you a couple housekeeping announcements. One, she is exhibiting at the summit. If you're at the Info Summit, be sure to find her. I, of course, will see you all at the Info Summit as well. Information about the June 2018 Dan-only training is going to be mailing in about a week, maybe 6-7 days. But only to everybody who has requested it. So if you are interested in mid-year next year, all about advertising, marketing, and selling to higher value, highest value clients, customers, patients, including a marketing to the affluent 2.0, you may or may not know, but early registrants are all in a drawing for a one-year lease on a Porsche or comparable exotic car. We're going to have a day before field trip optionally to an exotic car dealership. And so this is essentially the luxury marketing, the high net worth customer marketing event. And if you want that information, you need to specifically request it from my office at fax 602-269-3113. Operator, Carrie, you're with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Tell them how to get in the queue if they want to get in and talk with us.
Okay, so at this time, if you'd like to get into the queue to ask a question, all you need to do is press the number 1 on your phone. Once again, just press the number 1 one time.
All right, and while she's fetching somebody, I'll do it in advance. Nidia, thank you very much for all the great information and for the time being on the call.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Carrie, we got somebody?
There are no callers in the queue at this time.
All right. I'm going to give you a quick once, twice, thrice. Thanks to everybody who was on the call, shy and timid though you may be. And again, Nidia, thank you very much. And I'll see you next week.
Thank you. I'll see you next week. Take care, and I hope you get better.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This officially ends today's call. Thank you for your participation. Have a good morning or afternoon. You may now disconnect.